This is the Veterinary Project Podcast, episode 048.
Welcome to the show created by vets featuring absolutely no pets. This is the Veterinary Project Podcast, hosted by Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light. Our resident veterinarians have swapped out their stethoscopes in favor of microphones to bring you the Veterinary Project Podcast, a show focused on real conversations, aimed to connect this amazing profession full of remarkable people. Through the sharing of collective stories and wisdom, and connecting over the many unique challenges we face, we invite you to join our community of veterinary professionals leading intentional lives. And now, here are the hosts of the Veterinary Project Podcast, Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light.
All right, welcome back everyone to another episode of the Veterinary Project Podcast. Another fantastic guest today, Dr. Sarah Montgomery, and we dive into all things mindfulness. Sarah is the founder of Peace Within Mindfulness, which is a mindfulness community for veterinarians. So phenomenal conversation. But before we dive into that, we also got our lovely co-host, Johnny Light.
I was wondering if you were going to introduce me this afternoon. I was just going to say as the imaginary secret co-host.
Yeah, just sort of sit there. Don't say anything. Shut up. We'll do the episode without you.
Exactly. I'm good. All right. Sitting to the side. What's shaking, Mikey?
Well, I took a crack at my 10 kilometers, my sub 40 minute 10 kilometer run. So this was my goal was to do that in quarter two. So I took my official first crack at it. I wanted to do it at an official 10 kilometer race, but it was canceled. The Sask Marathon was canceled this year. So I just ran it on my own by the river. I did not hit it. So, I mean, it is a fail for quarter two. I think I ran in 41 minutes and 45 seconds. So to put that in context, when I started in December, my first 10K was 57 minutes. And the last time I tried to run a fast-ish 10K was 46 minutes. So I keep improving, shaving off time. So I'm going to take
That's a huge difference. 17 minutes?
Yeah, man. Well, I've been running. I've been running a lot. Like 5 days a week, you can find me running. I'm like Forrest Gump, man.
You totally are. You got some abs going on now.
Still not really much for abs, but I can run a lot further than I used to be able to.
I like it. That's frick. 41 minutes is fast. Nice work, dude.
Yeah, we'll see. I'll probably try again in quarter three and hopefully hit it there. And if not, I'll just keep going until I get it. So
you'll get there. You're close.
Yep. What's happening your way?
Oh, she's been a busy couple of weeks. On the personal front, in regards to Bridgeland Vet Clinic, we had our first, I would call it our major setback, but it's been a great learning opportunity. So we've had construction delays, as will happen with these projects. We've had to delay our opening by 3 weeks. And, you know, in working with clinic administrator, with Candace, myself, last Thursday was a stressful day. And we had to make phone calls to everybody and say, hey, guess what? We're not opening on July 12th as we wanted to. Awesome team. Awesome responses from everybody. You know, in veterinary medicine right now, it's pretty easy to find a job. So for everybody on our teams, whether it was veterinarians or support team, they're looked after, which is fantastic. At the end of the day, this is going to be a blessing in disguise. We have a lot to do in a short time period. This stretches out some of our implementation, all the training that we're doing with our different partners, and really excited about it. So in the big scheme of things, yes, we lose that 3 weeks in the summer season in a really cool neighborhood that we want to get up and going. Long-term, this will pay off. So that's it in the era of Bridgeland right now.
Yeah. We were chatting about it. And sometimes these things, which are very annoying in the moment and seem like very big deals, what did we say? We're like, in 10 years, are we going to even remember? Like, are you going to even remember that you had this slight delay? You know, like it's a minor hiccup in the grand scheme. So
I have to continually look at that big picture.
Yeah. Nice. Yep. Okay. Well, let's continue on. Before I read out the bio here, what do you got for today's quick tip?
Ooh, quick tips today. So quick tip actually fits right into that personal. And over the last few months, there has been a lot of action in my life. And one of the things that I really wanted to grow with is my capacity in leadership, my capacity in learning, whether it's personal or within my businesses. So I have taken on a business coach. We just had our second session and I'm learning to work with the process, and it is, you know, providing vulnerability, opportunity to have a person that's gone in the path before you. He's not within the veterinary field. And I think I'm going to gain a lot from it. So from a quick tip perspective, it's looking at where you have some gaps and what do you want to do about it? It's the same thing on the physical side. You know, we had Brad Posen on here at the start of the year, Absolute Performance Center in Calgary. He's now my coach on the physical side. I, you know, train with him once a week and then we've got workouts the other times. There would be people that would say, hey, Jonathan, what the heck are you doing? You've got all those other things on the table. But my quick tip is, if you want to grow, you have to get uncomfortable. And that's the area I'm in right now in multiple facets of my life. And I think long-term for both my family and the businesses, it will make a difference. So don't be afraid to stretch.
Nice. I like it. Okay. On with today's episode, we have Dr. Sarah Montgomery. Sarah is the founder of Peace Within Mindfulness and is a leading advocate for and teacher of mindfulness for veterinary medicine. Sarah is a certified mindfulness educator who has practiced mindfulness since 1999. She is an education professor with over 20 years of experience in K-12 and higher education and has published peer review research and given national presentations on mindfulness. She has a bachelor in psychology from Kalamazoo College and a PhD in curriculum studies from Indiana University. Since founding Peace Within, Sarah has given face-to-face and online professional development workshops on mindfulness for veterinary professionals. She's excited to be a part of the growing movement to support wellness in the veterinary community. And this is a great conversation. Really, we focus the whole conversation on mindfulness. A little cliffhanger for everyone. Sarah does an example. If you're just listening to this, take your hand, open your hands, close your thumb over your palm, and then wrap your four fingers over top of that. And Sarah talks about ways in which mindfulness can actually help train us from kind of blowing our top and you know, like emotionally exploding is how I've heard it described. So stay tuned. Great conversation on all things mindfulness. I give you Dr. Sarah Montgomery. All right, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. Jonathan and I are both mindfulness novices, so we're very excited
to infants build. At best. Absolutely. At best. I'm going to speak for myself only personally.
I have dipped my toe in, so I am very excited to keep building off that, but thank you for joining us.
Oh, absolutely. Thank you so much for this invitation. It's an honor and joy to be here.
Yeah. Well, you're doing great work with your Peace Within Mindfulness. And I know even in my limited experience, this is something I really believe is important for the veterinary community and diving into mindfulness. So we wanted to bring you on kind of as our resident mindfulness expert.
Oh,
so
thank you.
Before we dive into kind of all things mindfulness, tell us a little bit about yourself, how you found yourself starting Peace Within and diving into veterinary mindfulness.
Absolutely. Thank you. Okay. So I learned about mindfulness when I was 19. I was doing an internship at a hospital in my hometown back when I thought I wanted to do human resources and then went a couple different directions. My dad saw that they were offering an 8-week mindfulness-based stress reduction. So MBSR, it's kind of a gold standard programming piece for mindfulness. And we did that together and it was just a life-changing experience. And so I've been practicing for the last couple of decades. And then I'm an education professor in Iowa in the United States. And about 5 or 6 years ago, an awesome student wanted to do research for her honors thesis on mindfulness and education. And it was this like light moment of, oh my gosh, my interests and background could connect with my professional interests. And so I've been doing research and teaching on mindfulness in higher education for 5 or 6 years and teaching my undergrads and my graduate students, just these strategies that I have found so helpful in my life and in the folks and with the folks that I work with. And one day my husband came home, I was recording some mindfulness practices for my master's students in an online program. And he's like, Sarah, you need to think bigger. You could share this, you know, with a bigger audience or a different audience, like think beyond your class. And so we kind of leaned into that and started an entrepreneurship class just to see where that would take us. I thought I'm going to help teachers. Like that's what I do, right? I'm an educator. And that week that we started the class, my husband ran into our dear family friend, who's also our veterinarian, at a coffee shop on his afternoon off. And he was asking what I was doing and about my research and just checking in on the family. And my husband told him all the work that I was doing with mindfulness. And he paused and said, wow, veterinarians could really use this. You should help us. And my husband came home and told me that. And we're like, what do we not know? Like, there's so much more to the story. And so we met with him and he was very honest and vulnerable just about the challenges that he has navigated and, you know, some concerns in the field and also the amazing opportunities that he has every day in the field. And that led us in the direction of, okay, we want to learn more. So we interviewed over 100 veterinarians who are in working with small animal, large animal industry research, even, and just found a lot of pieces bubbling to the top in terms of the challenges, the challenging interactions with clients, decision-making really being tied to some financial components that are so difficult, just the schedule and not having any breathing room in between really tough appointments or that travel distance, for folks who are working on their own or an equine or a large animal. And I remember one night not being able to sleep. And I thought, I could walk away from this. Like, I don't need to know, you know, how tough this is. And I'm a helper. And I'm like, I can't. Like, I feel like I can help. I humbly want to try. So here I am. And we launched Peace Within a couple of years ago. And I've been giving workshops and presentations on mindfulness and vet med. And have been creating 5-minute mindfulness practices that are specifically based on the interview data that we have. So really trying to tie it to the topics and that came up, but then also I'm a college professor. So the research, the science and the citations matter. And so everything I do, I'm really wanting to connect that wellness and the mindfulness practices to peer-reviewed research or leaders in the field in different areas. So yeah, that's a little about me. It's a curvy journey and here I am.
Yeah. I love how, you know, it just ends up at a coffee shop and that directs you in a new direction. Absolutely. I do want to ask if you can remember before your 8-week program, like way back at the start of this, do you remember what your expectations were going in? Like, did you know much about mindfulness? Because for me, mindfulness was meditation, right? Like they were all just the same thing. I had no ability to like differentiate them. I just thought everything is meditation, you know, when I went in. So I just am curious what your expectations were, or for guests that are listening that have never done anything like this, you know, they might be a little bit nervous about stepping into that. So how did that first experience go for you?
You know, I was 19 and I think I thought, well, like I've got time and space, like let's try it out and learn something new. I had no idea what I was getting into, but I did know just some snippets of like how, just some things my dad and I had read or like seen on TV about like how it could help with anxiety or depression or just challenges and stress. And so I thought, well, let's check it out. You know, that could be really helpful. That program, I'll admit, the mindfulness-based stress reduction program, it is like you get right in there and it's expected that you're doing very long meditations. And I don't know now, you know, I'm at a different point because I've had an opportunity to practice and now to do research with it and then to learn more and more. And I've become a certified mindfulness educator because my own college students wanted to know more. And I realized I've got to learn more. And I think for me now, I see that like, yes, a 45-minute meditation is awesome if that works for you. I will be honest, I don't do that regularly. I do have a mindfulness practice in the morning, but sometimes it's 10 minutes and sometimes it's longer. And sometimes it's while I'm walking the dog. And I think there's lots of different entry points based on what a person's interests are, whether that's, you know, getting outside, or even board games, right? Like the ability to focus and interact and really be strategic and just be in the moment, that can happen in a game. So it doesn't, at this point, and maybe there's others that would disagree with me, I don't think it's one thing. It just depends on what works for you and what feels right. And that can change too, right? Just depending on what's accessible in your schedule. So does that help answer that?
As a person that is completely naive to the full definition of what mindfulness is and meditation and mindfulness practice, because I'm hearing a couple of different places, can you define for us what this actually is for us naive folks out there?
Absolutely. So kind of a gold standard definition comes from Jon Kabat-Zinn, who's a leader, and he created the mindfulness-based stress reduction program. And his research, especially in human medicine, has been well established for the last, gosh, 3 decades at least. So the definition is that it's paying attention to the present moment on purpose and without judgment. And so really at the core, it's present moment awareness, just noticing the moment, which sounds like, yeah, that's no big deal, but that's hard, right? It's so much easier to like, I've got to check that text message and then, you know, shoveling food in and got to run to the next thing, whatever it might be. So that present moment awareness is a key part of the definition. And then it being really purposeful and intentional, you know, so that when I do go on a walk with my dog, there might be a time where when I walk and it's just kind of huffing through. And there might be a time where it's like, wow, I noticed the breeze. I noticed the changing seasons. Like, look at his fur, like just kind of checking in and having that reset. And then the other piece of the definition is the without judgment. And that's the piece that can be super tough, because we might notice when we check in with the present moment that maybe you feel angry, maybe you feel sad, maybe you're just exhausted, maybe you're not, maybe you're on cloud nine. And so instead of pushing that away or ignoring it, to be with it and maybe to name it or to notice it or just be curious about it instead of, well, I shouldn't feel that way. Or I don't know, wherever the judgment might take you, right? It's a little different for all of us, but I know I sometimes am my own worst critic, and that being hard on ourselves is something that a lot of veterinarians shared with me when we had a chance to talk. So,
yeah. Can we kind of dive into the judgment piece just a little more? Cause that, I mean, that hit me when I was doing some practices in my own head, like, oh, pay attention. You're already off course. Like, bring it back. Mm-hmm. Any tips, like you mentioned, naming it, how can someone who's in the moment of it, a mindfulness practice, I don't know, tackle or address that judgment piece?
Mm-hmm. I think, you know, and the teachers that I've been fortunate to learn from too, have just really tried to encourage, and it's so beautiful when you kind of start to get there. It's a journey, right? Of just being gentle with yourself. Like, wow, it's amazing that I'm giving myself this 5 minutes. Like, maybe it isn't exactly what I thought it would be, or now I've thought on my to-do list for later today or whatever, but like this moment is a gift. And it's okay that my mind just went off to what are we having for dinner? Or I don't know, whatever it might be, something fun I'm going to do, or something I forgot to do, or something I said that I wish I wouldn't have said. I think it's just giving yourself that space and that chance and that grace. And then also some humor, you know, that if you know, it's just like, well, there I go again. You know, I don't know the number, but there's some research of like, we have so many tens of thousands of thoughts a day, and literally like 85% are the same exact ones every single day on replay. Like, well, I'm still worried about this and that and this. And maybe, you know, on one hand to notice that, and on the other hand to be like, oh, that's back again. Okay, well, let's work through it. Let's notice it instead of trying to ignore it. So I don't think there's one clear answer, but just, I think that's part of the beauty of the practice, right? Is to be able to just be with yourself and your thoughts in the moment, even when, gosh, it's kind of uncomfortable. So that befriending yourself and responding to yourself in a more compassionate way. Yeah.
Is mindfulness practice something that is purely personal? Do you share it with your husband, given that he's part of the business as well? What does this look like?
Oh, well, I mean, it's different for everyone, right? I think for me, it's always been pretty personal. And then when he did start to see like, wow, you're teaching more of this and your students are wanting more and now you're writing papers, it was like, he wasn't really engaged and he doesn't have a personal mindfulness practice per se. He loves to ride his bike and be outside. And I think he probably uses that as a way to engage, but he's in on it now. Cause as I write these practices or record things or get ready to speak, he's able to really thoughtfully comment. But you know, that's an interesting thing because often mindfulness is thought of as like, it's your own personal piece, right? And it is, but at the same time, especially if you're able to practice it with other people, or maybe, you know, there's a small group of vets that we're able to kind of connect or exchange notes or feel supported by one another, it can become this kind of, I don't know, movement might be a big word, but just this way to create some shift and some change, kind of like a, you know, an accountability buddy with, just like we would have with physical exercise, like, hey, did you give yourself a little bit of time or what's working for you? So I don't know. I think it can be both. It can be quite personal and it can also be something that you can share with a loved one or with a community. And I know in my own family life, I'm a mom and my kids are 6 and 9 and they're engaging in mindfulness with us all the time, especially when we're outside or creating things. And
do you like purposefully say, hey, we're in this mindfulness practice, or is it just in the engagement of being present, no judgment, moving through the process? Again, I have a 5 and 4 year old, so
yeah,
they're way more present than I am.
Oh gosh. They, and I think our animals too, I can tell a story about that in a minute, are really some of our greatest teachers, you know, cause we make things complicated, whether or not that's the way to go. Yeah, I do now. Yeah. When we're out in the woods or when we're playing or creating, or I often, you know, there's a lot of research and we might get into this soon about, how we can really train our brains to see the good and that actually changes our brain structure to notice the good or to notice things we're grateful for, maybe before or alongside things that are challenging. And when I'm with my kiddos or we're outside or we're playing or whatever I do, I'm like, wow, this moment is beautiful. Look at what we're doing. Like I do bring them, you know, and so now they do that. And I think it just gave them language to say like, this is really fun. This is, look at the wind and the leaves, you know, look at that chipmunk or what, you know, they get that chance to kind of realize what they're doing. And that then makes a huge difference when they're in stressful situations.
Yeah. Well, let's dive into some of the science as we kind of move into that. I guess just to recap, I'm sitting here listening and it's making me smile. My traditional naive thinking of like meditation is sitting cross-legged and you have to have 2 candles burning and it needs to be for 45 minutes or you haven't done it correctly. It's so awesome hearing, you know, it could be walking the dog. It can be playing outside. It can be riding your bike. It can be anything you really want it to be. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that was a mistake I made is I had it as this big daunting task that had to be very elaborate. And that was very wrong. So really encouraging to hear all of those examples.
Yeah, good. And I think that's what makes it more accessible, right? Because it just might not be possible. I mean, the veterinarians that I talked to, not one of those 100 folks said they got 45 minutes to be doing this, right? And that's why we started creating these 5-minute practices. Cause it's like, there might be 5 minutes, you know, a couple times a week at least. So yeah, I'm glad that that's helpful. And again, I think with you, when I started this, it's like, yeah, that's the model that I learned. And that's an awesome model. And there's lots of different entry points. There's lots of different ways. There's no one way.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Let's dive into some of the science. Sure. Our community will really appreciate hearing some of the research behind this. So you had mentioned mindfulness can literally change your brain, like paying attention to things in a particular way. So yeah. Fill us in here on what the research says.
Absolutely. So the cool thing is that at this point, I mean, we've got at least 2 to 3 decades of research about the impacts of mindfulness. And so you're able to see through these peer-reviewed studies, you know, some consistent trends and that are pretty well established in various fields like human health, business education, and now vet med too, specifically. And so some of those trends are that it can help reduce anxiety and depression symptoms and with help with stress management. It also can help increase self-compassion, which gets back to that judgment piece we were talking about. Definitely the research on how it helps with focus is solid. I've even read a piece or two where it's like, if you do some mindfulness practice, maybe some, you know, studies might call it like an intervention or a training program, that those that improved attention can last for 5 years after having done that, which is like, oh my gosh, really? And all of this also is showing how it can help build our resilience to stress. And the piece with that's super cool is the neuroscience on this, right? That we just really didn't have the access to when I was a psychology undergrad in the late 90s, early 2000s. It was just starting to come out that we would have those functional MRIs to get at that. And so what we're seeing now is that the brain changes in our life, right? Like if we have different experiences or we get to travel somewhere new or learn a language or instrument or I don't know, whatever it might be, the brain is always changing. And so as we do these mindfulness practices, it's literally reshaping our brain. And so we're seeing that it's strengthening the prefrontal cortex and making that thicker, which is all about executive functioning and that decision-making and problem solving and emotional self-regulation. And it's also making the gray matter in the amygdala smaller, and the amygdala is all about fight or flight. So Dan Siegel is a researcher that I really have found helpful in mindfulness and in general well-being, does a lot of work with families and kids too, but he offers this really great hand model. You can look it up on YouTube. And it's the idea that when you're doing mindfulness, we'll pretend your hand is your brain in a very simplified way. Okay. And so your thumb can be your amygdala and the fingers that are covering that thumb in this fist shape for audio listeners are your prefrontal cortex. And so when you get triggered by something, maybe it's a client being super disrespectful and out of line, right? Or whatever it might be, not saying it's okay, but you get upset by it. Your amygdala gets triggered and gets upset and can really kind of take over, and you might react instead of respond and all that. But when you're able to practice mindfulness, especially, you know, a couple times a week or weekly, you're really strengthening your prefrontal cortex and the ability to respond in the way that you want to the world, and also to soothe your amygdala so that you can catch yourself before you say what it is that maybe you wish you really wouldn't have said later to your partner or your child when they were being difficult. So that idea of just soothing the amygdala is key. And there's also some cool research at the University of Wisconsin-Madison in the United States. They have it's called Center for Healthy Minds. And I think they've got a lot of free resources on there if you want to look into it at some point. But Dr. Richard Davidson has been on the forefront of this, lots of peer-reviewed studies that he's been a co-author on. And he's starting to speak about how, you know, mindfulness and taking this time for yourself to do these practices eventually will be seen on par with physical exercise. Like, we know it's pretty commonly understood among most folks that physical exercise is good for you, and we probably need to do it regularly, you know? And he's postulating that it's the same, it's going to be the same with these practices because it's shaping your brain differently.
So that then being said, in veterinary medicine, almost post-COVID, depending on where in the world you are.
Yeah.
Things are crazy, Sarah. Like, people are double digits up right now. Everybody's either brought a dog into their home, rescued an animal, said, hey, we want an animal. We're starting to go back to work. We are over the top busy. We're booking now into July and August.
Oh my gosh.
How do individuals take time, step away in their day, and as an operations person, where do I fit that in if I so wanted to the health of our employees and our team?
Yeah. Well, and I think that comes back to your beautiful question about like the personal and the collective, right? So from a personal angle, I would say, and in the vets that I've talked to and the reflection I've done on those interviews and those connections, and I know it's hard because the schedule is so full and it's gotten harder with COVID, as you've so clearly explained. Glad all these animals got adopted, but still, that's a lot for all of you. Is where is it that you can carve these five? And I would start with like a 5 minutes, right? Don't, if you want to, I don't think it's super realistic to say, well, now I'm going to do 45 minutes a day every day. Like, that's just not realistic. Like, where, what could you do to make 5 minutes accessible for you? Could you get up on a bed 5 minutes earlier? Or could you notice that, you know, what do you do when you wake up first thing in the morning? Do you look at your phone? Is that a habit that you might want to say, let's not, I'm going to wait 5 minutes and I might just lay here in bed. Literally just give my, I'm just going to do some breathing. Just going to kind of set my intention for the day. I'm going to think about some things I'm grateful for before I get out of bed, right? If that's accessible, before I get in and check my schedule and go and grab all these things and help other people. Or maybe it's in the bathroom if that's the only place you can get away from other people. Or maybe it's in the car. Or maybe it's in the car right before you get back home. Or maybe you can step outside. But then I think the other piece is kind of this collective element, right? Of how could we create some space in the day in a practice so that people can connect or can disconnect and just breathe, right? Like what might be the ways to do that? I don't have all the answers because I'm not in your space, but I think that idea of like, wow, we don't have to do it this way. How could we build in a break or two or 5 minutes or honor, you know, or have some cute little reminders up, right? Or some resources to pass out or just different ways for people to realize like, this is really important and it impacts your physical health, your mental health, and it's going to impact client and patient outcomes too, especially with the focus piece. So,
yeah. And I think it's counterintuitive to that, you know, stopping and taking this 5 or 10 minutes will actually make you more efficient and more productive. Like if you want to look at it that way, simply from case throughput in a clinic, slowing down will actually speed you up. Like that, yeah. What you said around the research piece of the effects lasting 5 years, that blows my mind. It's like that's
me too. Amazing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, if folks are able to focus more or communicate more clearly with team members or with clients, that's going to reshape things. And that's going to have some financial impacts too. I don't know if you'd be able to really trace those lines, but I think it could be beneficial in so many ways, especially with retention and just well-being.
Yeah. Sarah, this is probably a tricky question. Is there any research, you know, you were comparing it to physical health and you know, we have decent data around you should exercise for this many times a week for this long. Are they starting to research mindfulness like as a daily practice or every second day or for however long you do it? Like, what do you need to put into it to get, you know, maximum benefit, or is that still being worked on?
I don't know that there's one clear answer on that. The work that I've read, some of Rick Hansen's work out of, the Greater Good Science Center at Berkeley in California is showing that these smaller amounts of time are just as effective as longer amounts of time. It's all about the consistency, right? So it's that you have regular times that you do this. And there was actually a study in 2017 on VetMed. And let me double check just so it was in the Journal of Veterinary Medical Education. They did a whole issue on actually one of the subsections of that issue was resilience, mindfulness, and mindset, which was super cool. And they talked about how students that engaged in they taught mindfulness practices in a core veterinary science class at a vet school. And then they kind of measured what happened, you know, and they found that, yeah, things were still really stressful and people were still really struggling with mental health. But the students that continued to practice it once or more a week showed greater resilience on various measures. And so it was that idea of the consistency as opposed to these large blocks of time. I mean, it'd be just kind of like physical exercise, right? If I could exercise for an hour and a half and, you know, do all these things and more, my body could probably really improve off of that. But I don't really have that luxury right now when I'm caring for little kiddos and doing my other endeavors. But I do make sure to do a certain amount regularly and kind of keep track on that. So I think that's a helpful lens for us to think about with the physical exercise, because so many of us at this point realize like, yeah, that's probably pretty established that we need to do that.
Yeah. So. And I mean, 5 minutes, everyone has 5 minutes somewhere. Like I was laughing when you even said the bathroom, like leave the cell phone outside of the bathroom, you know, like you can fit it in anywhere. So
Yeah.
I'd be very interested to hear more about these 5 minute sessions that you have or that you've recorded, et cetera. Where does that come into it? And is that specific to veterinary medicine or is that all encompassing, anybody can partake?
So good question. I actually designed those specifically for veterinary medicine. So my background, my PhD is in curriculum and instruction, which is all about like, how do you take information and make it culturally relevant for a group of people, right? And so that lens has kind of fueled me like, okay, I've talked to these 100 veterinarians. There's clearly some things that many people are wanting to address in the field in regards to well-being. Like, how could we bridge what I know with mindfulness and put all this together? And so at this point, I've created a little bit over 30 5-minute audio mindfulness practices. And they are designed to either be like strategies or a quick meditation on topics related to things that came up in the interviews. So self-compassion, gratitude, perfectionism. I just started creating some on finances and being aware of kind of some triggers or things as you get ready to work on personal and professional finances. Also themes like boundaries and sensory awareness, kind of some traditional things too with like body scans. So I designed them thematically to be about these topics. Like for example, if it was like sensory awareness, like the research on that, how that ties to vet med, and then here's some practices that go with that, kind of like a little module. So there are some of those free on our website at peacewithinmindfulness.com. So you could definitely enjoy those and share those, and I hope they help. And then, there's also an opportunity to sign up to get access to those and to get those new ones every month. So that's one angle.
Yeah. And your membership platform, if I remember correctly, it's these videos, these audio messages come out like several times a month, I think 3 times a month. And as you said, you tailor them to the veterinary industry.
Yeah, they're biweekly. So every 2 weeks you get a new audio practice through this app. So it's super accessible and comes right to your phone. And we did design audio because so many vets that we talk to are just like, I don't need more stimulation with video. And it takes longer to upload. And it's like, maybe somebody's over your shoulder and they don't really need to see what you're doing while you're getting a chance to do something at work or wherever you're at. So the audio practice seemed just so much more like more anonymity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I see on your website, you have some race approved CE that is going to be coming.
Yeah. So we are so excited. That's been one of our goals, is to apply for some race approved CE. And we applied and it got accepted quickly. And so we just got that approval last week and we hope to launch that in early July. So it's, I know, I'm so excited because I feel like it's really bridging. I'm an educator and here we go, right? Given that instruction. And so it's going to be about the science of mindfulness, research on mindfulness in veterinary medicine, looking at some recent studies on that, and then going through some specific topics regarding like breathing, mindful awareness, and then mindful communication. We're going to get into that. So it's 1 hour, non-medical CE. And I think it could be really helpful for folks individually. And then also, like you were saying with the practice, it's like, if we could get like a group of people that would want to listen to this or would want to have that conversation or try some things together, it could shift some spaces, maybe.
I love it. It's a possible solution or part of a solution to a very complex problem right now in our industry.
Yeah.
And I know it's not just our industry, but hey, that's our focus. That's what we talk about on the Veterinary Project, is how can we help our industry as opposed to just talk about the problems, because there's lots of them. This sounds like a great solution addition. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And a very baseline one as well too. And you're looking at the pyramid. This sounds like, again, naive infant right here in terms of mindfulness practice. This sounds like a pretty big baseline equivalent to physical activity.
Yeah.
So then from that standpoint, Mike, and I totally taken over a question here. Where do you see yourself from a career standpoint, and now having gone this direction and a niche into veterinary medicine, where do you see yourself going? I'm really interested. Like this is a whole curveball, it sounds like.
Oh, friends.
A needed area. Where do you see this going?
I am just like, again, with that mindfulness piece, I think curious and wide open. I, as we've met with some folks, I've openly shared vulnerably, like if you would have told me 3 years ago, I'd be teaching mindfulness to veterinarians, I would have been like, what are you even talking about? what are you talking about? But I think it was just that invitation from our friend and then realizing, you know, the magnitude of the need and saying like, I don't know where this is going to lead. And I don't totally have the answers, but I'm going to do something. You know, it's like when what we thought was the feral kitty in our neighborhood kept coming to be fed by me and we got her fixed. And then the next day she showed me her 4 kittens. And I was like, we're not going to walk away from this, right? We got them all homes. 2 of them ended up with our friend, the veterinarian. I'm like, hit the jackpot, mama kitty. And now she's my kitty and sleeps on the bed. Right? Because I wasn't going to walk away from that situation. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now. It's like, I'm not going to walk away. I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to learn a lot. And I hope that what I'm sharing is helpful to some folks because I want to be of service. So yeah, I don't know. We'll see.
I love that attitude. And I agree with you. I really think this is a big piece that can help the veterinary industry. Any comments or what would you say to someone who's listening and is maybe reluctant or maybe scared or, you know, whatever feeling they're feeling that's holding them back from just, you know, trying mindfulness and seeing what it's about? Any yeah. words of encouragement for them?
Sure. I think a couple things. I think one would be to figure out what brings you joy and to see if you could make a little bit more time for that or align that in some way with your schedule, whatever that is. And then to think also like the story with my dog and mindfulness, he's trying to chase squirrels every day. He never catches one. He's an Australian Shepherd mix. He's a good guy. His name's Jack. And I noticed last summer, one day he was chasing and barking and doing his thing. And he just stopped. And you could tell he closed his eyes and like grazed his little chin to the sun and the wind was blowing his fur and he gave himself this moment. And then he went back to chasing the squirrels. And I think, there you go, Jack. Like it doesn't have to be this complex thing, right? It's just like find your entry point. And so if that's like 5 minutes in the morning, or maybe you like to doodle or listen to music or get outside or ride your bike, or I don't know, like try to figure out what it is that can just give you that reset, that pause, like Jack gave himself in the squirrel chasing. And then, like you said, Mike, it's like, this actually helps us. He still hasn't caught a squirrel, so I can't use Jack as the baseline for this, but it can actually make us more productive and more focused, which sounds counterintuitive, but maybe it isn't, you know, clearly it isn't.
Well, we know that as an industry, we need to look outside ourselves to continue to learn because we need the help. So if it's counterintuitive, it might not be as counterintuitive as we think.
Yeah.
We are our own worst nightmares in this industry because sometimes that perfectionist, we know it all. Oh, it's specific to veterinary medicine, nothing else. It can't be, is not the right answer.
Mm. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah. And that's why we wanted to have you on, Sarah, especially, you know, the research component behind it. You know, this is backed by science. So really powerful stuff. Love the work that you're doing.
Thank you. Appreciate the support.
Maybe in a year from now, I'll be a mindfulness practitioner of success. Maybe.
Oh, cool. Well,
I need my accountability partner, Mikey B, to help me out on that one.
I will. I'll help you out right now. I think just starting is success. So
yes,
that's it. We got to get some check marks in there in the calendar, don't we?
Yeah. It won't take you a year to get there. We can start that right away.
Like it.
All right, Sarah, as we kind of wrap up here, we're going to move into our impact round. So a series of questions we ask all of our guests. The first one, are you a cat or a dog person?
That's so hard because I have both and love them, but I'm going to have to go with cat. I'm going to go with cat.
Off guard. I was
just like that. I thought she was going dog for sure.
Yeah. As you can tell, we're both cat guys. So that
makes you are
nice win, Sarah. She was expecting us to be disappointed. You could
I was that. Already almost marking dog down. I was like, yeah, she's a dog. Told the dog story.
We have a running tally going right now.
Do you? Are we outnumbered? Because I feel like there's so many more dog people.
There's a lot of closet cat people out there.
Oh, I love it. Oh.
I almost I almost can't ask the next question because I'm laughing at closet cat. That's funny.
Closet cat.
Okay. True or false? I knew I wanted to be a mindfulness practitioner since I was a kid. I know the answer to this
one. Oh, I'd say false because I had no idea. Yeah. I mean, maybe I was always kind of thoughtful, but I never thought I'd be doing this, especially with your amazing community. So I'll go with false.
Mm-hmm. Nice. How would your friends describe what you do for a living?
I think they would say that I educate and that I inspire. Yeah.
You know, that's a nice thing to have people.
That is tight. I like that.
Thank you. Life goals.
What is your favorite hobby?
Right before COVID, my family and I started getting outside more and more. And then one of the beauty or blessings of this challenging time has been a really great space for us to be. So I would say it's getting outside, going for walks in the woods, and just really learning so much more about nature.
Nice. What in this world are you most grateful for?
I am grateful for just some amazing people in my life, my little family, and people that have been so supportive. And that can be folks that I've known a long time or some new friends in vet med who have been like, keep going. Like we hear, like, just, we want to support you and see where this goes. So just that support, beautiful people and support. Oh, there's your kitty.
Yep. There's the kitty in the background coming to show everybody on YouTube and elsewhere.
Oh,
all right, Sarah, thank you so much for joining us. It was great to dive in a little more to the science of mindfulness. I mean, I've been sold on it. I can't remember when my first time trying it was, probably 2 years ago or so, you know, and I've got lots of work to do, but this kind of re-inspires me to get back on it. Anything to add in, Jonathan?
Really happy you've come on. Would love to have you back on again. I am an infinitesimal in mindfulness. I know how important it is, but I'm that classic guy or girl that puts it off for something else. So
yeah,
really great. And I love the discussion on neuroplasticity and the research behind it. And yeah, thank you very much for joining us and sharing your words today.
Absolutely. Thank you. And I'd love to come back. And I, again, just appreciate this invitation to share.
Yeah. Sarah, if anyone wants to follow along on your journey or with Peace Within Mindfulness, where can they find you?
Yeah. So our website is peacewithinmindfulness.com. And then on Instagram, it's at Peace Within Mindfulness. And it's the same for Facebook, at Peace Within Mindfulness, or Peace Within Mindfulness. So yeah, check us out.
Excellent. And we will drop those in the show notes for everyone.
Perfect.
As always, the final word goes to you. What message do you want to leave for the veterinary community?
Okay. The message that I want to leave is that you can be the change, and that investing in yourself and really being open to these strategies and giving it a try can really support you and those you love and care for.
Thank you for listening to the Veterinary Project Podcast. As a recap, on behalf of our hosts, the Veterinary Project Podcast will be releasing new episodes weekly. So be sure to tune in as we bring you more conversations aimed at helping you enjoy a life well lived. If you enjoyed what you heard on the show and you want to stay in the know, please like, love, and or subscribe to the podcast on the listening platform of your choosing, as we're available on all the usual suspects. If you know of others that may benefit from these conversations, we'd love it if you please share the show with them, as this will help us grow our community to reach more and more veterinary professionals. Speaking of which, if you are a veterinary professional and would like to get connected with more like-minded individuals who are joining us on this journey, please send an email to theveterinaryprojectpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll invite you to be a part of our private Facebook group. General feedback, requests for information, or perhaps requests to be a guest on the show can also be sent to theveterinaryprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light, thank you for listening to the show, and we'll catch you again next week for another episode of the Veterinary Project Podcast. Bye for now.